Hello and welcome to the Cortana Analytics webinars. I'm your host Ashish Bhatia. I work as a Senior Program Manager in Microsoft and I host this webinar series. The topic for today is leveraging predictive analytics for sales and marketing. What we wanted to do today was give you a sneak peek into our own world and how we can internally dog food our technology. Our sales and marketing team has built a predictive analytics solution using Cortana Analytics Suite. And we wanted to share that experience with you, hoping that you will find synergies in some of the work that you're doing within your sales and marketing team. Let me quickly go over the format of the webinar. As usual, it is a one-hour session. We'll have 40 minutes of presentation demo and followed up by a 15 minutes Q&A. The session is being recorded. After the live session, we'll have the session available on demand. We'll also send you a follow-up mail with the recording and the slide set. Today we have with us Prashant Dhingra. He's a Principal Program Manager in Microsoft. Prashant works with Azure Machine Learning team. In past, Prashant has worked with SQL Server teams, Bing Ads teams, and Azure ML. Some of the work that Prashant has done is around ads, marketing, flood forecasting, and the recent work was around building machine learning models for sales and marketing. We also have with us Shomik Chadha. Shomik is a program manager with Microsoft. He is working in the global marketing team. He leads a team of data scientists which builds the predictive analytics platform for Microsoft. With that quick introduction, let me hand it over to Prashant.
Thanks, Ashish, for the introduction. Today's session agenda is we'll quickly walk through how technology is becoming important in marketing. Then we will show a couple of demos how Microsoft Marketing has used models to predict which customer will buy Microsoft products. After the demos, we will show the architecture we have used and what method we have used to scale the models for multiple geographies and for multiple products. Then we will show how we have automated scoring and retraining so that these models can run in an independent way. Finally, we will talk about the benefit we have gained using this technology, and then we will conclude with a Q&A section. I will start with this quote. In 2012, Gartner made this quote that by 2017, the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, will spend more budget on IT than the CIO. We have seen that with time, this trend is becoming true, and more marketing budget is spent to bring a technology. And the reason is marketing has become very technology focused. Earlier, companies used to have their transactional system and they used to mine their transactional system to understand the customer behavior. But now, companies look into social data, web data to understand which customer will buy their product, which customer will churn, and which customer will upgrade their product. Due to this pattern, marketing has become increasingly technology based. Earlier, it was a predefined business. Marketing was a predefined domain, but with big data and machine learning, there are disruptive trends in marketing that has started. And due to these disruptive trends, every company wants to invest more in big data and machine learning, and it has become a competitive advantage. And due to this reason, marketing budgets nowadays are larger than IT budgets. Within Microsoft, too, we have a marketing team, and we have an analytics team that reports to the marketing team. We call this team as GMO, Global Marketing Operations, and within that we have an analytics team. We call this team as Sales, Marketing, Reporting, and Analytics. Within your enterprise too, or if you are working with a customer, you might have a CMO organization, and you might have an analytics department reporting to the CMO. So you can relate Microsoft structure with your enterprise or your customer's organization structure. Within Microsoft, we use Cortana Analytics. Your CMO organization and the analytics department might be using a different tool set. But whatever we will show it to you today will be you will find that it will be relevant for your enterprise and your customer, whether you are using a Microsoft tool set or you are using a different tool set. So with that, I will go into the quick introduction of the global marketing operations team in Microsoft. Global marketing operations team earlier was responsible for building sales and marketing BI reports for whole of Microsoft. They were supporting 30 products in 13 regions. There are 6,000 user base across the geos who were using these BI reports to do marketing of Microsoft products. In last 1 year, we have added predictive capabilities to extend these BI reports. So now we can predict which enterprise will buy Microsoft product, which enterprise will upgrade to Microsoft products. You might have seen examples how companies target consumers, but today we will show it to you how you can build model to target even enterprises. So if you have a BI org, how you can convert this BI org into a predictive analytics org. So this is the same thing we did with the Microsoft marketing team. They were building BI report, which was based upon the facts, which they were giving concrete insight based upon the historical data. Then we added predictive capability, where we have added machine learning model to tell that not only what has happened in the past, what is going to happen in the future. So we moved from traditional BI reporting warehouse and extended that with the predictive capability using Cortana analytics suites. So I will go into the demo session, and with me there is a Shomik. So the type of demo we will show it to you were, we'll take few example scenarios. Which enterprise will adopt next version of SQL Server? So your enterprise or your customer might also be selling product, and if you want to know who will upgrade to the next version, this kind of a model can be useful. We call this as an upgrade model. Similarly, if there is an enterprise who is using Microsoft product, but they're not using cloud product, we have a model that can predict which organization will use cloud product. It's a traditional cross-sell model, that you have a customer that is using one product and you are trying to find out whether they will use the second product or not. Third scenario we will talk about is, if there's an enterprise who is not our customer, but we want to know whether they will buy Microsoft product like Office 365 or not, we have a model for that, and my colleague Shomik will show you that model. This is like identifying a new customer. Then we have some other models, like if enterprise have licenses, whether there is a licensing gap, we can find out those issues also through models. These were our organization model where we are targeting enterprises. Because Microsoft works with various partners, we also have model for partners, which partners will be more successful in selling Microsoft product, which partner will be more successful in building solution on Microsoft product. These kind of a model also we have built. We will show you this model, and then we will show it to you that not only you can use this model in our reports, but you can also convert them into an API and build apps on this. So we'll show it to you how you can run a email or phone marketing campaign using this model. So these are the example scenarios we will show it to you, and the demo we will show it to you will be from our production system. This is the production system which our marketing team uses it. So with that, I will hand it over to Shomik, who will show you these demo.
Hello everyone, my name is Shomik. I work with the global marketing team at Microsoft. I'm responsible for building the predictive analytics platform. Let me quickly start the demo. So to give context, our team used to build some predictive models. Traditionally, we used to use on-premise software like SSAS, SPSS, sometimes SAS. So our platform was pretty distributed based on different systems, different models. What we're trying to do is we have consolidated all of those models into a single platform so that it's easily manageable as well as scalable. So what you see on the screen right now is our homepage for predictive analytics. We have two entry points for users. One is for business users who want to consume existing models. It's called the Predictive Model Explorer. And the next one is for anyone who wants to build new models, a data scientist coming into the platform and consume our data and build new models. So once we go into the Predictive Model Explorer, it opens up.
Shomik, are you sharing your screen?
Yes, I am.
On the live view, I still see the slides, though.
Our live view is showing the screens.
Please continue.
Okay. So this is our the Predictive Model Explorer. So this lists all of the models that we have built currently. These can be searched based on metadata associated with each of the models. So let's say we try to build a model for SQL Server. So it brings up all of the models which are relevant to SQL Server. We are looking at, say, the SQL Server upgrade targeting model. Once we click that, it opens in a new window. And this is the SQL Server targeting model web UI report. What we have done is we have built a standard UI for all of the models that we have built. So the URL of this report is actually a constant URL which just accepts a parameter for a different report. So as soon as I change the parameter to a different report, a different model will load up. All of the reports so have a standard look and feel. There are some components to each of the reports. On the top, we have filters which allow you to filter the report based on geography, subsidiary segments, some firmographic information. There is a profiling section underneath, and we also allow filtering based on contactability of the different organizations. I'll give a little bit more detail on that later. So let me cancel this. So in the report, the first section is called the model validation section, where it shows the lift chart and a basic description of the lift chart so it's understandable by a business user. So what the lift chart is showing here is over a random targeting model, if you use this predictive model to, say, look for people to sell SQL Server to, you'll actually get a lift of about 50% at the fifth decile. So that's what the active range summary is showing. We can select the range of how many deciles we are trying to target. So the decile is nothing but a 10% bucket of the entire population we are looking at. The next section is the primary model variables. So depending on all of the variables that we have used to build the model, these are some of the key variables that we have found to be highly predictive for this model. There are more variables obviously that have gone into the model. And we have a big repository of variables that I'll walk through in a little bit. So all of those variables have gone into these in the model, and we show only the top 10 features from that variable list here. The next section here is the profiling section. This is just a basic matrix of accounts where your accounts are. So right now it's pivoted by industry and vertical. From the filter panel above, we can change that to anything like country and segment. So all the X and Y axis is configurable. And it also shows the number of email count, and that is the number of people who are contactable from each of these buckets. So even though one organization might show as high probable to by SQL Server, they might not have any contactable people to actually go and contact and sell. So this is very useful for actual field marketing who need to prioritize accounts based on how many contactable people they have. And then we have a bottom section, which is the actual grid view of results from the model. I'm not showing the details of the organization because that's this is an internal report. So we have a key, organization name, and the propensity from the model. So we will usually take the scores from the model and bucket them into something like high, low, medium, or medium, high, medium, low, sort of that, like 5-6 different buckets. The users can also select which fields to show in this grid and export this this entire report into an Excel. So this is the SQL Server upgrade model. We have one more. So if we go back to the Model Explorer, say I want to filter this by opportunity lifecycle, and I want to look at customers for acquisition. And say my marketing team is looking at selling Office 365. So we have one model called Office 365 Customer Targeting. this model is primarily to sell Office 365 to existing Microsoft customers, so in a cross-sell scenario. So anyone who has transacted with Microsoft in the last 6-7 years, we'll look at their transaction history. And from the people who have already bought Office 365, figure out the patterns from them and apply the same model to the rest of the population. So again, the report has the same components. We have the model validation section, which shows how good the model is performing over a random model, an explanation of what the model validation means. We have the primary model variables, which are coming from the model. So these models are all built in Azure ML, and we are deriving the variables from, like the key correlated variables from Azure ML. We again have the profiling section. So now you see it's pivoted by region and segment. So this profiling is configurable based on the filter panel above. And lastly, we have the grid section showing the org details there. Firmographics and the propensity to buy this particular product. Then we have one more model called the Office 365 White Space Customer Targeting. So here we are, the difference with this one and the previous one is we are looking at external customers who have not yet transacted with Microsoft. So we acquire data externally and match up that with our existing transactional information. And like overlay the information of who has already bought Office 365 and build a lookalike model using that. So this data is coming from Dun & Bradstreet, and we have assigned a propensity value to all of the organizations that we were able to that we matched, and then we applied the same model to the rest of the Dun & Bradstreet population. So this is meant to go ahead and acquire white space new customers, people who have never transacted with Microsoft in the future, in the past. And similarly, this model also has the same sections in it, the model validation section, showing the performance of the model. Primary model variables, these are the features coming from the Dun & Bradstreet database. We have extracted the data and created features from the external database. Again, some profiling information and the actual raw data from the model. And the last model I can show is, this is called the SAM anti-piracy report. This is more of a compliance-based model. It is based on past audits that Microsoft has done with external customers. So using that audit information and looking at who has had gaps in their license structure, they have compliance issues. We took all of this information and again built a model on top of that and tried to predict, like look at their behavior and try to predict who else might be highly probable to have compliance issues. Again, the same sections to this report as well. And all of these reports have a consistent UI. So key advantages here is, one, this is highly usable for a field user. So people who are not versed in Azure, like machine learning concepts, once they understand how to use or how to read one report, it's very easy to navigate through the entire portfolio of reporting that we have. These are just four of the reports that we have shown. We have more than 100 models which cater to these reports. And there are other scenarios also that we have built. One thing I'd like to call out about this report is the anti-piracy report is actually built at a product level. So even though this shows up as just one report on this UI, it's actually a set of seven different reports. If I go into the filter section and select product, so each of these products actually has a different model built in Azure ML. And we have all the pipelines built in Azure Data Factory, which pull all the information from Azure ML, pull the actual scores from Azure ML, and put it to an on-prem server that we call the analytics publisher, where we syndicate all our scores from. And all of this is combined into one report for the user. So even though it looks like just one report, it's actually a combination of many reports. And there are other reports where we have built this at the region level and the product level. So say 25 into 13 models, all are shown as just one report on the UI. And the key users for, so when the field team uses this model, they get that incremental lift in their targeting. So for example, one of our teams used the SAM anti-piracy report in their marketing campaign, in their audit campaign actually, and they received more than 100% lift in what they were trying to achieve, like comparing to previous year's performance. So this greatly reduces like impact to CPE when you try to target everyone, or you target a huge user base instead of without understanding of who is actually probable of likely to buy a certain product, and it also increases ROI significantly when you use this report. Then I'll do a quick demo of what we call the model variable mod. So when we moved all of these models into Azure ML, these were all distributed systems, all separate models built by separate individuals, and we were refreshing them every month in a silo. So what we have done is we have taken all of the SQL scripts to create the features from all of these models and put them together into one place called the model variable mod. So this is a curated repository of all of the features, all of the variable that we have found useful in any of our models built over the last few years. So right now we are at around 900 strong variables which are already there in this model variable mod. So to give an example, this is right now divided into perspectives called org, partner, individual, and this is based on what the key is for the prediction. So org is based on an organization ID, a partner is a Microsoft partner, they have a partner ID, and individual is an email address. So let's go into the org perspective. I'll wait for it to load up. In the org perspective, we again logically distributed them into different groups. So these are all logical groups. Say we go into the group for product revenue. I'll wait for that to load as well. So here you see all of the variables that are related to the product revenue. So each product revenue of Azure, revenue of BizTalk, this, each of these variables is calculated at the top parent ID level, the organization ID level. And this is stored in an Azure SQL environment. So we give the name of the server, the database, and the table name. And this is shared with the end user who actually wants to come in and build with the model on our platform as well. So one is we use this data to build our own models, and we also share this data internally with all of the marketing teams or the data sciences teams who would actually want to come into our platform, go into Azure Machine Learning, collaborate with us in building a model, and use this data to actually build a model. this might not cater 100% to all of the variables, the features that you might need to build a model. But in most of the cases, this provides a stage for rapid prototyping. You can quickly build a model and like validate some hypothesis before you actually drill deeper into building the model. So a step, especially the data aggregation and the data collection stage, which used to take more than 80% of the time by building the model, that is now reduced to zero, and you can start from the place where you already have a set of features created, and you can start building the models on top of that on day one. These are all of the demos that we had for the platform. I'll hand it over to Prashant to take you through some more demos related to Azure machine learning, and then we'll go back to the deck to speak about the platform.
Thanks, Shomik, for the wonderful demo. One thing I want to call it out here is the demo just Shomik's shown it to you is from our production system. It's live production, which Microsoft Marketing uses it. And the second thing to note is he has shown you five different models. One was for upgrading SQL Server, second one was for cross-selling crowd product, and then Office 365, and then the compliance and anti-piracy model. But they have built 150 models. Their team has built 150 models. Earlier, it was difficult to build machine learning models, but with a small team of five members, the GMO team is able to build 150 models in 1 year. And that is one of the key advantage of Azure ML. Someone on the chat sent a question that they want to see the model. So while we are here, I've just opened a screen that shows the first model which Shomik has shown. So behind the screen, you saw the SQL Server model. Behind the scene, this is the Azure ML model. It gets data from multiple tables, which gets joined. And after the data is joined, we remove some column, we fix the missing data, and then there are some metadata editor components. After that, we do training and testing, and here it is using a boosted decision tree algorithm. And finally, it evaluates the model. So today, I will not go into detail of the features of Azure ML. I assume many of you have seen it. Azure ML provides drag and drop functionality. You can drag and drop reader module or data cleaning modules or the algorithms for machine learning, and then you can connect these modules together to train the model and finally score the model and evaluate the model. So this is the model which is built in Azure ML, and the output of this model after the scoring is put into a BI table, and that the UI which showed it to you was connected to that BI table. So that's the way you are using. You are seeing this model. It is using the features, the feature used by Azure ML are described here. The lift chart is described here, and the output, which is the propensity score, is shown into this report. Okay. So after this, I will show it to you the architecture and method that has been used to build this reporting system. I'm switching back to the slides. So we'll discuss how these models have been built. So I want to call out a couple of architecture strategies we used, and then I will describe more in detail. So first of all, we centralize the data for model building. So Shomik just showed it to the model variable mart where they have stored all the variables. That was an important architecture decision, because once all the data and variables are stored at one single place, any team that wants to build the model can utilize this. This was one good architecture decision. Then after you have the data, you require tool set to quickly apply machine learning algorithm. And that's where Azure ML was crucial, because using Azure ML, teams were able to use drag and drop functionality, and without writing a lot of code, they were able to try where model works, where it doesn't work. So it enabled rapid experimentation. So bringing Azure ML drastically improved our speed of experimentation. Then the third architecture decision was, we had a existing BI report where the historical data was stored, and then we added machine learning model, and after the scoring, we put the result back into our BI system. Using this, our user base who were using the BI system were also able to see the future prediction. This enabled us to increase the adoption of the platform. So building model is one big activity, but once the model is built, one needs to regularly do the training on a new data, and then one needs to regularly do the scoring. Using Azure ML and ADF, Azure Data Factory, we have completely automated scoring and retraining. So as and when new data comes into Microsoft Sales system, we learn on that data, and then every month we do a new scoring which shows the propensity of some enterprise, whether they will buy Microsoft product or whether they will upgrade or whether they will churn. These kind of a new scores are put it out in our BI system every month. And another important decision was, because we have built 150 model, we also enable discovery of these models by having a model explorer. So you have seen that how Shomik was searching through various model. You can search it by a tag, you can search it by the selling life cycle, or you can search it by a product. So using this, one can easily find a model. These were the architecture decisions. So let's go into the architecture now. So first, I will show you the logical architecture we have used. And this logical architecture, I believe, can be applied to any system. First, we are fetching the data. That data can come from a sales system, from an external big data system, from a web, from a Twitter feed or Facebook, or from our local system. So we are fetching the data, and then we are converting this data into set of predefined variables, which Shomik showed you as a variable mart. So we fetch all the data from heterogeneous system, convert them into a consistent variables, and put it at single place where users can see it, and if they want to build a model, they can directly consume the variables from there. Once you have all the variables, you can simply process them using SD Insight or ADF, or you can build a machine learning solution, and then finally convert the output of machine learning into an API. And then your UI, which can be a Power BI, which can be a SharePoint report, or which can be any other system, like an application on a mobile device. And these clients can call your model API, and using this, you can show the result of models. So this is our logical architecture. Our technology architecture is that we first acquire the data, then we do the modeling, and then we do deployment. And for acquiring data, we have once we acquire the data, we put everything into Azure DB. For modeling, we use Azure Machine Learning. And finally, after scoring, we again put the result into Azure DB. So these two are our primary component. In addition, we have used Azure Blob Storage for storing the models, and Azure Data Factory for building the pipelines and automation. So scoring and retraining can be done through Azure Data Factory. So in our technical architecture, all of these components are cloud-based. So whole of this system runs in cloud using Azure Database, Azure Machine Learning, Azure Blob Storage, and Azure Data Factory. And from a process perspective, during these phases, acquiring, model building, and deployment, these are the various capabilities which we have provided. Like during the acquisition phase, we focus on fetching data from multiple sources, calculating new variables, ensuring that the right user has the right access permission. In the model building phase, we provide model building capability through Azure Machine Learning, and then there are capabilities to clone a model or extend a model by using an existing models. For example, if we have built a model for Office 365, and if our marketing team in Germany wants to add a feature into it which is specific for Germany, they can clone a model and extend it for Germany. Once the model is built, then it can be deployed and converted into an API, and that API gets called using our scoring mechanism, and it pushes the data scored result back into the Azure DB. So this is our process architecture. And once we put the result, then our BI report can take the prediction and the score result, and this is what Shomik showed it to you, that these reports can show the model output. So these reports have same format which we use for BI as well as for predictive analytics. So now we have seen how technology is becoming important in marketing. We have seen the demo, and we have seen how the models can be built. But once the model is built, whether those models will be successful or not is decided by how well is the process automated. So for automation, we have used this mechanism that we originally built the model here, which takes some time in the beginning. But once you have the model, then this process can be automated, that as and when new data comes, there is a retraining API available in Azure ML that creates a, using that you can create a retrained model, and that retrained model is stored into block storage, and that generates a new scored endpoint which you need to patch. So you build the model once, and then you also create this piece for retraining once, and once you have built this, then every time new data comes, and you can choose the frequency daily, weekly, or monthly, as in when new data comes, your new model gets retrained, it is stored at a new location, and then the scoring use the new endpoint. And this might sound a big process, but actually it's only like a few lines of code in C#. This code is provided as part of our blog. You can use it. Once you have built the retraining mechanism, the end-to-end process of retraining and scoring is automated. So after our GMO team, global marketing operations team, build this model and they have the retraining and scoring automated, the primary benefits they got were, their biggest benefit was they were able to reduce the cycle time. So earlier when they were trying with different tool set, they used to take 8 weeks to get data from a new source, and they used to get then 4 weeks to build a model. And after that, it requires like almost 2 to 3 weeks to operationalize that model. And that means like 8 plus 4 plus 2, almost a quarter to build one model. When we started using Azure Machine Learning, so the first and main benefit was we were able to reduce the cycle drastically. So within 2 weeks, you were able to get data into cloud. Then within 2 weeks, you were able to build a brand new model. And then operationalization was the simplest, because with one click, we can convert into an API. And with another retraining process, we can create a new scoring API for retraining and scoring. So operationalization has a huge benefit. So that process which used to take quarter now only takes 1 month to build a brand new model. And then the second main advantage was, once you have a brand new model, then you can clone it or extend it easily for different geographies. So when Shomik was showing you today a model for different product, one existing model was extended for a different product, or when he was showing a different model for different geography, existing model was cloned for different geography, and sometimes it trained on a new set of features. So these were our primary benefit, that reducing the cycle time. Some other benefits were that we were able to do rapid prototyping, because we can drag and drop in Azure Machine Learning. We can run the experiment with multiple algorithm. We were able to build model for multiple product and region in a similar way. And one benefit to note is, because everything was in a cloud, it enabled collaboration across teams which were spread across geography. So no one was having their local repository. everything was at central place, variables and even models were at central place. And using this, we were able to democratize machine learning, because Azure ML have feature and we need not have to worry about writing code for machine learning. We were able to democratize machine learning. And all of these together helped us in extending our descriptive BI solution to predictive analytics solution. And finally, we were able to produce the score result not only for report, but for various downstream system. Like if someone needs to run a marketing campaign, that can be done through using our API, and one can determine which companies are likely to buy Office 365, and one can do a campaign for those company. So these were our primary benefits we got for using Azure ML, ADF, and Azure DB. So I will summarize this with another quote from Forrester, that it's no longer a question whether technology plays a role in marketing. It's already proven that technology is very important in marketing. It's about what role CMO needs to play in selecting the best solution to drive marketing and overall business success. So every organization, CMO and the CMO organization and analytics organization, needs to decide what kind of a solution or what kind of a analytics predictive solution can give a edge to their marketing team. And I hope that today's session gave you some insight that how you can build a predictive analytics solution in a very easy way and how you can do a rapid experimentation. And I will show you this reference slide that and it is applicable to any architecture, that if you are using a Cortana analytics suite, you will have an information management system, or you can have a big data store. You may or may not have a big data store. Once you get your data, then you can apply machine learning or processing solution so that you can get meaning from your data, and finally you can surface the result to Power BI, Cortana, or through other application. So I hope that today's session helped you in understanding how you can use Azure ML and ADF, and you can apply that in your organization too. So to summarize today's session, we discussed that marketing is becoming technology focused. Big data and machine learning have started disruptive trends. Shomik showed it to you how marketing reporting team, Microsoft marketing reporting team, added predictive analytics in their portfolio, and they built 150 model with 5-member team in 1 year. Then we discussed the architecture built using Cortana Analytics. Cortana Analytics has multiple component, and we focus today on Azure Machine Learning, Azure Data Factory, and Azure DB, which were used by Microsoft marketing team. And we discussed the benefit. The primary benefit was reducing the cycle time, and the other benefits were increasing the collaboration and rapid prototyping. So with that, I will go into the Q&A session, and we will see what are the questions, and we'll try to answer your questions. And we will also be publishing a blog post on this. So if you have any question in future, feel free to contact us.
Thanks, Prashant. Thanks, Shomik, for a great demo. Let me pick up some questions here. I see multiple questions around availability of these models, and would we publish these models in Azure ML Gallery or somewhere else, or as part of Cortana Analytics Suite?
Yes, so these models use Microsoft specific features. So within Microsoft, these models are available, and we can, because the features were very specific to Microsoft, we are looking into how we can convert them into a generic feature and publish it for the outside world also. So we intend to publish those in our blog post for outside world.
Thanks, Prashant. There are a few questions around the visualization, and people are asking, is there any integration with Power BI for visualization, or what visualization method did you use?
Sure. So we have used SharePoint-based report, and we also have Power BI-based report. What team focused on building the model and scoring the result back into our Azure DB table? Once you have the result in Azure DB table, whether someone has a mobile application or whether someone has a SharePoint application or whether someone wants to do it in Power BI, that data can be exported in any of the system. So we didn't spend too much on the UI, but we make the architecture in such a way that the data is there in BI system, and then like whichever reporting platform can you use, you simply need to show the result from Azure DB table. Does it answer the question?
Thanks. Thanks, Prashant. Let me pick up some more. There are a few questions around the data size, and somebody specifically asking, would this work for like a 50 million customer base?
Sure. So like Microsoft also has a lot of customers, and I knew like some of these models are using multi-million rows. So there's no problem in using multi-million rows, and many of the model like SQL Server and specifically the Office 365 has so many customers, and the model process them easily. The thing you need to notice is the model scoring, when I was showing you a report, when Shomik was showing you a report, we were not doing scoring that time. That time we were simply showing the result from a Azure DB table, and scoring is done once in a month, because that was our marketing need, that our new data comes once in a month and we score the result. So if you have multi-million rows, probably it will take 1 hour to score 20 million rows, and you will have the BI table ready, and then you can show them into your reports.
Thanks. So one of the questions is around is this work done using only Azure ML, or is there RevR also used? And there are again questions around, is this a totally on-cloud solution, or there are elements of on-premises, or, yeah.
So the current work which we showed you today is purely on Azure Machine Learning, and we intend to do some work in future using RevR also, but all the work which we showed today is on Azure Machine Learning. And all the model and database are on the cloud. We had few data sources in on-prem, which we pulled into cloud for this purpose. And then the results are scored into the cloud. Few of our users or our downstream application needed that data back into on-prem, so they can always, they pull the data back from our cloud to their on-prem solution.
Thank you. There's more questions coming around, again, on-prem and size of the data. But is there any limitation on how many API requests can we make to an Azure ML model that is published as a web API?
Let me understand. What do you mean by limitation on API request? We score result on few million. Azure ML provide you a batch mode and a online mode, because for our platform batch mode was good enough. So once we have an Azure ML API, using a batch mode we can pass it many million rows together. And depending upon whether I'm passing 100 rows or 100 million rows, it might take different time to score. And once it scores, so we have seen like for a few million rows, scoring takes 1 to 2 hours. And after 1 to 2 hours, our scoring is complete, and then our BI report starts showing the data. So when Shomik used the model, it was not doing the scoring at that time. It was simply showing the result which were already scored once in a month.
Okay, thanks. Then, is there also any feature to make clustering analysis of customer behaviors?
Today we didn't show you, but in a separate there is a separate model where one can cluster the customers according to needs, like for example, many companies, even Microsoft, cluster the customer according to their preferences, like Bing does that, MSN does that, depending upon what pages you use, what queries you put it on Bing. We cluster people over a period of time, that whether you are a golf lover or a movie lover, etc. So those mechanisms are possible. This particular solution, which we showed it to today, was not focusing on consumer, it was focusing on enterprise. Which enterprise will buy Microsoft product, which enterprise will upgrade their product. And for them, the clustering already exists. We know that, okay, what are the companies, what is their hierarchy, which country they are, what type of company they are, whether they're a healthcare or whether they're a professional services. So we didn't build a clustering solution for companies because we already know their cluster. But for consumer, yes, we build model for clustering.
Thanks. There is question around, publishing of templates. Are there any templates around fraud detection, customer churn? So there are templates in the gallery, and we're kind of working on adding more templates all the time. So keep watching that space, I guess. Prashant, can you share a few moments on Cortana Analytics Suite itself? Because there are certain questions around that as well, and how does Azure ML fit into that scheme of things?
Yes, so Cortana Analytics has multiple pieces. So I just switched back to the Cortana Analytics slide. I hope everyone can see that. It has Azure Data Factory, it has Azure Data Catalog, it has Event Hub, Data Lake, SQL Data Warehouse, Machine Learning, SD Insights, Stream Analytics, and it has Power BI as front end, Cortana as front end. So Cortana Analytics provide multiple components, and for your customer need or for your enterprise need, you will be using one or more of these components. For example, if you are working in the IoT space, we'll be using Event Hub and Stream Analytics to get the real-time data. And then on top of that, either you will use SD Insights for processing and then finally show the result. For example, if you are simply showing results from various sensors, so Azure Event Hub, Stream Analytics, and SD Insights together will give you the result. If you want to apply machine learning, then after you have the data, you will apply the machine learning component, which will be provided by Azure Machine Learning. So Azure Event Hub, Stream Analytics, and Azure Machine Learning component will be using to do the prediction, and finally you will show the prediction in Cortana or Power BI. So Cortana Analytics suites provide you multiple of these components. Depending upon your requirement, depending upon your architecture, how frequently your data comes, you will choose what component is suitable for fetching the data, ingesting the data. Then depending upon whether, once you have the data, whether you need to do more aggregation and processing or whether you need to do more machine learning, you will choose either machine learning solution or you will choose SD Insight kind of a solution. And finally, once you have the data ready to show, you can pick up a UI, you can pick a Power BI, you can pick a Cortana Analytics or a Cortana Personal Digital Assistant, or you can build a custom UI like HTML5 based UI, which we showed it to you today. So the Cortana Analytics provide you building blocks that you can use in your architecture for predictive analytics or for big data solutions.
Thanks, Prashant. What I would also add is we have added a link into your resource list. You'll see a link to Cortana Analytics Workshop, which is happening next week. So watch that space. It's a very interesting workshop. It's a two-day workshop happening in Redmond, Microsoft Redmond office. So see if you can attend that. That'll give you a good overview of Cortana Analytics Suite. I'll take one last question, Prashant. Can Azure ML handle big data from Hadoop environment?
Yes, Azure ML can handle big data from Hadoop environment. In Azure ML, you can use data from local system, or you can have a reader module which can read data from multiple system. So when you say Hadoop environment, ultimately you need to, I'm assuming that you are processing data, and then you are putting in a format which Azure ML, you are putting into a format which Azure ML recognizes. So Azure ML recognizes multiple formats like CSV, relational DB, or blob storage. So as long as you are using the format which Azure ML recognizes, and you are putting into a place where Azure ML can read, then Azure ML can fetch the data from Hadoop.
Thanks, Prashant, and thanks again for a great session. Thanks, Shomik, for the demos. Thank you, everybody, for attending the session today. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with more solution-oriented topics and discussion. Thank you. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.